Going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You heard it a little bit last week, but you didn't hear enough of it. I didn't either, so we needed to expound a little more on it. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, and I invite you to follow along as I read God's Word. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Boy, I could certainly use a vacation. Have you ever said that before? Probably about every Wednesday or Thursday in the work week. Boy, I could use a vacation. I just had one not long ago, and it was a good one. I wanted to go, and I'm glad I went. Of course, we all have our dream vacation, don't we? Since I've been back from vacation, I don't know how many people I've talked to about vacation. It's been a popular topic this summer, apparently, around Northwood. This first day in a while, we haven't had at least half of our congregation on vacation. But we're getting there. We can get the rest of them back. It'll be more exciting to be together with the whole family. But we've talked a lot about our dream vacation, and I don't know about yours, but maybe this will hit one of your dream spots to vacation. A mountain cabin by the stream, where you can hear the water just kind of trickling along the way. Or oceanside, where you can hear, maybe somewhere like the East Coast or something, where you can actually hear the waves. That's what I grew up with, not living there, but vacationing there. That's fun. Still have fond memories of it. Maybe yours is ideas of ski resort. Then you go to the doctor to repair the broken bones afterwards. You have more vacation after that. Or maybe yours is, maybe you're just Looney Tune enough to think going to a theme park is a vacation. Boy, I just love waiting in those lines. Isn't that refreshing? Or camping. Now, you really have lost it if you think camping's a vacation. I'm just kidding. Holiday Inn, that's about the best camping we could do. Maybe it's an ocean cruise. Now, there's something to be said about that because you can't do anything. You can't cook. You're waited on. I've taken one of those in my life, and I'll tell you, it was fun. Or a lake resort. Maybe Lake Lanier near Atlanta. I highly recommend it. Been there, done that, and liked it. I don't know what your dream vacation is, but we all have probably what we would say is our dream vacation. But my question for you today is, why do you take a vacation? You don't deserve one. No, I'm kidding. You might. Why do you take a vacation? Have you stopped to think about it for a second? And I looked it up, vacation, according to Webster, whoever else, I don't know, one of these smart guys that put a dictionary together. It's basically simply taking a break from work or your regular routine of what it might be, school. Take a break from school. You have spring vacation. You have Christmas vacation. Public schools, you have holiday vacation. It's to take a break from your regular routine, but I hope that your purpose for taking a vacation includes more than that. I hope your purpose is to get some rest. To get some rest. To regain focus. To experience a renewal of your energy, and I would say physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, a vacation can help there. A vacation can contribute to accomplishing that goal of being renewed physically, emotionally, spiritually. But do you know this? You can find rest as God defines it without taking a vacation. You can find rest without taking a vacation from work or anything. by experiencing rest, by experiencing a life of contentment, peace, and security that we touched on last week. We talked mostly about the final rest. That hope of glory that we have of being in the presence of God, where all the striving will be completely over and we're at peace completely. But we talked also about the fact that not only are we awaiting that perfect rest, but as we await that perfect rest, which is guaranteed to all of us who are in Christ, while we await, we are beginning to experience the rest that God has for us. That peace, that contentment, that life of security, that life of being still, as we read. Not striving, but being still in His presence and experiencing Him as God. But having said all that, it is my opinion that this life of rest seems to elude most of us too much of the time. But it is available. That's my point. It may elude us, but it is available for us to begin to experience the rest of God as we continue in this journey on this earth, awaiting that day of perfect rest. Therefore, we're going to look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where we will discover how we can experience the rest that Jesus offers. I'm here to tell you, Jesus offers rest. Now, without a vacation, how can we experience the rest that Jesus offers? Verse 28, first of all, by coming to Him, simply put, by coming to Him. Maybe it's a little more complicated than it's written, but by coming to Him, we can experience the rest that Jesus offers now in this life. What does it mean to come to Him? It means to trust personally in Jesus, not in doctrine, not in ordinance, not in anything else, but in a personal Savior. Putting our trust in a personal Savior. He is the one who invites us for this rest. He gives us an invitation to experience His rest now. And it's the same God that we looked at last week in Hebrews 4, the one who invites us to come to the throne of grace boldly with confidence that we may receive what? Grace and help in our time of need. In other words, in the midst of a life that's not real pretty all the time, in the midst of a life of pain and suffering and striving, He says, come to Me and I will dispense grace upon grace upon grace upon grace that will be, as He told Paul, sufficient for every single need that you have. But you got to come to Me. You got to come to Me. You got to trust Me in your time of need. Coming to Him, trusting Him, the invitation is to who? It is to the weary, He says. Those who through heavy struggling or toil have become exhausted in their search for rest. Now, some of us get that way in our daily lives. We get so stressed out with the cares of life that we become exhausted, and that's who Jesus is talking about. Those who've tried other ways to find rest, and at the end, they're only exhausted in their search for rest. Some words that are often used in our society, says Dr. Richard Svensson in his book called Margin. I recommend it. It talks about getting some margin in life so that you're not always burning the candle at both ends. That you have some time to sit alone with God and experience the rest, the renewal, the refreshment that He offers. He says some words that are often used as descriptors in our society include being active, busy, driven, fatigued, tired, exhausted, weary, burned out, anxious, shall I go on, overloaded, or stressed. And he's right. Those are descriptors, I think, in our society today that you probably hear all the time and very well describe our society that we live in. He says, but very seldom do you hear in our society to describe it words such as peaceful and well-rested. But that's what Jesus offers. If you come to me, he says, if you come to me when you're weary, you will find rest. But he goes on to say, you who are weary are burdened. Burdened. You who are burdened, the words here are describing those who are overloaded like the beast of burden, who are weighted down with cares, too heavy a load to carry. Jesus referred to the Pharisees as those who bind heavy burdens on you, too hard to bear, and they lay them, he says, on men's shoulders. They lay burdens on men's shoulders heavier than men were ever intended to carry. He's talking about laying on their shoulders an endless set of rules and traditions that man cannot fulfill, no matter how hard he tried. But they burden them with that, to the fact that they're on overload. He says, come to me, and I will set you free from the yoke of legalism, from the burdens of anxiety, the burdens of grief, the burdens of sorrow, or anything, folks, that you want to put in there that burdens you and weighs you down. That was never intended to weigh you down, by the way. He says, come to me, and in place of the burden, in place of being weary and overloaded, I will give you rest. Now, does that not sound pretty doggone good? First Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care or all your burdens on him, for he cares for you. Not only does he care for you, but his shoulders are plenty big to carry them, and yours are not. Hey, some of you guys are pretty buff, man. Some of you are pretty big, and you got big shoulders, but your shoulders aren't big enough to carry those unnecessary things that whoever puts them on you. The Pharisees of today, I don't care. Society puts burdens on you. Work will throw burdens at you that you never were meant to carry. Cast them on him and trust him for rest. That's what he's saying. Come to me, cast them upon me, and trust me to give you rest. John 16:33. Wow. In me, Jesus says, you will have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take comfort, take courage, he says. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. The world's the one that puts all the pressure, all the stress, all the weight on you. But he says, don't fret. I've overcome the world. Come to me. You'll have peace. Come to me. You'll have a life of rest. Not striving, but rest. Not anxiety, but peace. Dr. Richard Svensson also continues in his book, Margin, where he says, we have leisure in our society, but very little rest. The pace, the noise, the expectations, and the interruptions of modern life have not soothed the soul, nor has it brought refreshment to the burdened spirit. Wow. And he's right. But in the midst of it, Jesus says, come to me. You can't escape this world yet, but come to me in the midst of this busy, pressure, high-pressured world that you live in, that you work in, that you play in, and I will give you rest. Jesus, who has overcome the world, says, come to me, draw near to me. And what does it say? Draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. But not only draw near, keep on drawing near is what he's saying. Draw near to me. Come to me. Keep on coming to me. Keep on trusting me time and time again, and I will give you rest. Also, not only by coming to him, but by submitting to his lordship. By submitting to his lordship. Look at verses 29 and 30. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. We must put on his yoke. That is a metaphor, folks, for the discipline of discipleship. It's a metaphor for submitting to the lordship of Christ over our lives, because he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is well fitting. My yoke is comfortable. My yoke for you is custom fit. In Palestine, the ox yokes were made of wood, and an ox was measured. The yoke was roughed out and brought back to try on the ox again. Why? So that it would be tailor-made to fit. Do you realize whatever God enables you to carry, whatever he desires in his divine providence to allow you to carry in life, I believe this, according to his word, is tailor-made to fit you. That's why I believe in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that the task that God has called us to is tailor-made to fit us. No temptation, no testing. That's a better word for that. No testing that you experience, but such as is common to man. It's not anything that's uncommon. You experience it. But God will enable you to carry it. God will provide through it the way of escape that you might be able to endure it. And not only endure it in a way that brings honor and glory to him. You've heard people say it all the time. God will never give you more than you can handle. And I'd like to talk to them, because I've seen God give me a whole lot more than I can handle. God will never give you more than he can handle as you submit to his lordship. You realize God didn't make us to be supermen? God didn't make us to be self-sufficient people. Oh, yes, I know. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. He did it. Well, guess what? It was all for naught if he did it. If God did it, it was eternal. If he did it, it was man's doing and it wasn't God's doing. Jesus said, the life I give you basically is not a burden to gall you. Your task is made to measure to fit you. His commands, 1 John 5:3, are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Jesus said, my yoke is light. Not necessarily easy. Not necessarily easy to carry. But it is laid on you in love by the one who loves you. He doesn't want to burden you. He loves you. And he will enable you through it to come through whatever the testing is, victoriously, as you submit to his lordship. The burden is light as we submit to the lordship of Christ. As we cast all our cares upon him and trust him, we will find rest. You know, you got the option. Carry the burden or allow him to carry it. But because we're stubborn, because we're strong-willed, and because we're self-sufficient people sometimes, we refuse to cast them upon him, and we carry them to the point of fatigue and exhaustion and frustration, I might add. And the whole time, You come to me, Jesus says. You spend time in my presence alone. You come apart with me. Remember last week? Before you come apart. That's what he told the disciples to do. Get away. Come. Be in the presence of God. That's what Jesus did. He came to be in the presence of the Father, to get away from the crowd, to get away from the hustle and bustle and the demands of everyday life. Are we better than him? I think not. Therefore, if Jesus needed to do it, I think, we need to do it. We need to get away and take some time. But I'm busy in the morning. I've got to get that extra sleep. So what gets ignored is the most important thing. That's time alone in the presence of God, which equips you and prepares you and helps you to focus. As you come alone in the presence of Him, our Lord, then you submit better to His Lordship because you are reminded, renewed and refreshed and reminded that He is God. He is the one on whom I can cast all my care, and He loves me and He will take care of it. Chuck Swindoll in his book, Stress Fractures, says, God continues to hold out to all His children a peaceful, worry-free lifestyle that we can enter into on a moment-by-moment basis. Did you hear that? God offers that to us. God holds that available for you and me to experience on a moment-by-moment basis. It doesn't say, and waiting till we get to heaven. While we await, we can live at rest. We can live that life of peacefulness and not anxiety. Resting and not striving. As we submit moment by moment, we find rest for our souls. By coming to Jesus, by submitting to His Lordship, moment by moment, but also by learning from Him, he says. By learning from Him, verse 29. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Learn from Him. What is he talking about? Learn from Christ and the revelation of truth that He imparts. You know what a disciple means? A learner. That's what it is. A learner. A discipleship, folks, is a process of learning. It begins at the moment of salvation, when we put our trust in Christ as the one who died for our sin and establish a relationship with God. We become His followers, His learners, and we learn from Him from the moment one until there's no more learning because we'll be in His presence and life will be like we dream of it. But in the meantime, it's a process that continues. We're learning, keep this in mind, from one who is an authority. Not only is he an authority, he knows all, he's able to do all. So we're learning from the best. But we're learning also not from an authority. He is a know-it-all, but not in the sense of how we are know-it-alls. He's an authority who knows it all, but he is humble and gentle of heart. Have you noticed that? Of all the things that are pointed out about him, he's humble and meek or gentle. Power under control. Humble? We must be humble. I think that's one of the reasons, I'm confident that's one of the reasons Jesus put it the way he did, is because what is required for us to be a learner of Christ and to learn the lessons we need to learn about experiencing the rest that he's called us to, it takes being one who is humble and teachable and willing to learn. Back to the know-it-alls. There are people who know it all. And I mean it in the bad sense. They know everything and you can't teach them a blooming thing because they know it all. That the only one who can be a learner and a follower of Christ and a true disciple who learns daily from Him is one who's willing to submit with humility. With humility. That I submit to Him as the Lord of my life, and as I'm willing to submit, I'm able to learn. We must be humble and able to learn, and then we will find rest for our souls. This is a quote from Jeremiah 6:16. Jesus is saying that the ancient path and the good way that He talked about in the Old Testament lie in taking on His yoke, because He is the one to whom the Old Testament points. That's what He's saying. I am the fulfillment of this. Yes, this is the good path, the good way. The good way is what? To be gentle, humble, and to learn. And therefore you will find rest. As you learn from Me, you will find rest for your souls. Like Jesus, we can endure conflict or suffering, knowing that we will win. We are going to win. He provides the victory, and we know that, and therefore we can learn from Him and the victory that He's provided and the victory that He experienced, even over death. Isaiah 26:3. He will keep him in perfect peace. For lack of a better word, and I think even a better word than what's there, who leans on Him, who trusts in Him. Leaning on Him, I can find rest. Because when I lean, He doesn't move out the way and let me fall. When I lean, that means I'm coming into His presence with humility. I'm not the know-it-all. I'm not the one who can do it all myself. I don't care how big, how rough, and how tough we are, guys. We have to come as little children in His presence and crawl up into Daddy's lap and rely upon Him. A lot of us are very insecure inside. We know that. And our wives even know it better. There's nothing wrong with that. My security is Him. That's how He made me, to be dependent upon Him, to learn from Him, to submit to Him, to trust Him, and to have peace and rest. Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Okay, I alluded briefly earlier, and I have to share a quick story. This week was challenging. We have our adopted student. Those of you who do not know, we have a college student we've adopted as a church. And, okay, I've become his daddy in many ways. And I love him. But I wanted you to have him this week, not me. I could have dumped him on your doorstep. I would have. It was challenging. And Alicia could tell you all the whining I did in the office. And I just thank you, Alicia, for listening. It was challenging, let me just say it. And we were still challenged at 2:28 p.m. when the plane took off at 3:40. That's all I'll say. And I finally had to put my foot down. And this was with an almost 19-year-old and a month and a half. He's not my flesh and blood. I think you can know, you look at us. There's a little bit difference in us. Maybe it's just the dreadlocks. I don't know. But there's a lot of difference in us. But he acknowledged, and this is interesting, and this is why I want to share it. He acknowledged that in the midst of a stressful afternoon, I'll just put it that way, and the stress came from him, folks. I'll just tell you, it came from him. We started 2 weeks before trying to get this young man ready to go back off to college. And I, quote, laid the law down. Well, the law didn't work very well. And we were still at, I won't say this, but I was in bed after 1 a.m. the day before we left, thinking I was going to get in bed early with him here in my house. And I was picking him up and going to Tampa. Not Tampa, the other side of the world. We drove past Busch Gardens 30 minutes. I don't call that Tampa, but they call it Tampa. I have no idea where we're. I think we might have still been in Hillsborough County, but I'm not positive. And then the next day, where the stuff was going on and something happened, and he looked at me and he grinned and he said, "But you have been under a lot of pressure lately." Oh, what do you think I wanted to do? That helped. Because I remembered there were eyes watching me. Somebody that I'm trying to disciple. Somebody that I'm trying to help learn. Imitate me as I also imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll bring you right back to focus. And remember, be still. Chill out. Shut up and listen. Learn from me. Experience me in your life. And what will I give you? Rest. We made it to the airport. But this is after explaining most of the summer that the ground rules are, I'm older, and I like to plan things farther than the end of my nose. Do we have enough understanding here? Oh yeah, I respect that. But we're still not willing to do it. So how do I do it? I rest in Him. And He takes care of it. But in the midst of it, there's some pretty big bumps in the road. And the whole time, my Father's saying, come to me. Rest in me. I am your refuge. I am your strength. I'm your very present help in time of trouble, time of stress, time when the heat is turned up. I'm your portion. A.W. Tozer puts it this way, the rest that Christ offers is the rest of meekness. The blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. It will take some courage at first, but the needed grace will come as we learn that we are sharing this new and easy yoke with the strong Son of God Himself. Are you coming to Him? Are you spending time in His presence? Away from the hustle and bustle. Away from the St. Petersburg Times. Away from the news on TV. Away from the distraction of any of your family. Away from the distraction of the phone or the computer. You get my drift? And the stillness and the quietness is what He's talking about. Come to me. Get alone with me. Submit to my Lordship. Continue to learn from me as you follow and as you trust. And you'll experience rest daily, moment by moment, for your soul. Elizabeth Sherrill puts it this way in her book, Journey into Rest. She says, when the riverbank no longer tumbles into the river with every passing storm, that riverbank is said to have reached its angle of repose. Have you reached that point where you no longer tumble when the storms come? When you experience rest and the quietness in the midst of the storm, then you have reached your angle of repose. In Him, He provides so that we might reach that angle of repose and rest in the midst of the storm. Is that rest yours today? You can have it by coming, by submitting, and by continuing to learn. Simply put, you can have it by being still, not striving. Cease from your striving is what that says, Psalm 46:10. And know and experience me as God. Number 343 in your hymnal is a song that I think would be appropriate for us to make as our prayer and our commitment. And if someone wants to play it and ready to do it, we'll do it. Otherwise, Rory will lead us a cappella. Because I don't do that. Because we want to try to sing it close to how it was written. Should be 343, be still. And it's simply what I just quoted, Psalm 46:10. But I hope we'll make this our commitment to learn daily, moment by moment, to be still in His presence. Even when people around us don't cooperate, even when people change our schedule, even when the economy falls apart, we can be still.